This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest. I'm Sharmila Ganesan with Chi Xiaowick and Juliet Jacobs in the studio. As usual, we have two stories for you today.
In our first story, we are looking at graffiti artist Banksy's latest mural, which was vandalized, sparking a lot of conversation about whether any of Banksy's artwork is actually capable of being damaged, given that it itself is criminal damage. So we're going to look at that debate on street art. Is it art or vandalism? So on Valentine's Day, our world-renowned graffiti artist Banksy, he dropped his latest work, which is a mural which shows a young girl firing red flowers from a catapult. And the elusive artist confirmed it as his creation on his official Instagram account, you know, in case anyone was wondering. And he did that on February the 14th. But according to reports, the image was defaced by spray paint within hours of appearing on that house wall in Bristol in the UK. A photograph circulating on social media showed abusive graffiti targeting local authorities in the city of Bristol scrawled over the work. And following that, the owners of the property covered the mural and installed a CCTV to protect the artwork. Temporary fencing was also added on Saturday to the home in Bristol.
Wow. So Kelly Woodruff, whose father owns that rented home where that artwork appeared, said that the family felt a strong responsibility to ensure that the artwork could be enjoyed by the general public. She said that due to the mindless vandalism that was done to the art, the family took the very difficult decision to cover it up to try and protect it. She went on to say that all measures are temporary and asked for patience from the public as they tried to work out the best way to clean the damage, to restore and protect it for the future, and so that everyone can enjoy Banksy's work.
But, you know, Banksy himself suggested that he was unfazed by the incident. He wrote in an Instagram post on Thursday, and I quote, "I'm kind of glad the piece in Barton Hill got vandalized. The initial sketch was a lot better." And alongside the message to his 7.4 million followers, he shared draft drawings of the girl, showing how he had experimented with different positions. However, residents in Barton Hill themselves have been less laissez-faire about the vandalism, and so, you know, they have taken the initiative to put up those security measures we mentioned earlier.
Yeah, so, you know, the incident has raised the question as to whether an unsolicited piece of street art can actually be vandalized as such. So in an article in The Conversation, lecturers Mark Thomas and Samantha Pegg from the Nottingham Trent University wrote that vandalism is not a legal term. In UK law, it equates to criminal damage and may amount to an offence under their Section 1 of the Criminal Damage Act 1971. So if it were to be an intentional or reckless destruction or damage of property belonging to another.
But the law does not, however, draw a clear distinction between great works of street art that have been thoughtfully applied and the casual tagging of a wall. So in both cases, if permission hasn't been sought, then an offence may be committed regardless of whether that artwork has merit or not, which is highly subjective anyway. The Antisocial Behaviour Act of 2003 in the UK defines graffiti as the painting or writing on or the soiling, marking, or other defacing of any property by whatever means. And graffiti artists may be subject to a fine or may be subject to prosecution under the Criminal Damage Act 1971 when more substantial damage has been done.
Yeah, and several Banksy artworks have actually been removed or defaced. So the gorilla in a pink mask, which is one of Banksy's first works on a Bristol social club, and his No Future mural on a Southampton wall were actually painted over the first the gorilla one accidentally. I don't know how you do that. And the second in an act of apparent vandalism. So what of the defaced, the most recent Valentine's Day mural? You know, we know that a Banksy street mural can be worth upwards of £400,000. And it is likely that Banksy himself is one of the few graffiti artists whose unsolicited works may not be subject to criminal prosecution, although they still would amount to criminal damage in law.
Yeah, and it's clear that the home owners, you know, were very receptive to the Valentine's mural as they unsuccessfully attempted to protect it with Perspex sheet. It's also clear that the damage inflicted by the spray paint, you know, by the so-called the vandals, quote unquote, that was far more unwelcome. So while it's questionable whether the Banksy artwork is capable of being damaged, you know, given that it itself is criminal damage. Mm. It is certainly the case that the wall, you know, which will have increased in value as a result of the artwork, will have been further damaged by the act of vandalism. Yes.
So this got us thinking about the dichotomy between street art and graffiti. I mean, where do we draw the line between vandalism and art? Here's a TED-Ed video by Kelly Wall, who raises the same questions that we are now debating. Is it art or is it vandalism? So here she is with a quick history of graffiti.
Spray-painted subway cars, tagged bridges, mural-covered walls. Graffiti pops up boldly throughout our cities. It can make statements about identity, art, empowerment, and politics, while simultaneously being associated with destruction. And, it turns out, it's nothing new. Graffiti, or the act of writing or scribbling on public property, has been around for thousands of years. And across that span of time, it's raised the same questions we debate now. Is it art? Is it vandalism? In the first century BCE, Romans regularly inscribed messages on public walls, while oceans away, Mayans were prolifically scratching drawings onto their surfaces. And it wasn't always a subversive act. In Pompeii, ordinary citizens regularly marked public walls with magic spells, prose about unrequited love, political campaign slogans, and even messages to champion their favorite gladiators. Some, including the Greek philosopher Plutarch, pushed back, deeming graffiti ridiculous and pointless. But it wasn't until the 5th century that the roots of the modern concept of vandalism were planted. At that time, a barbaric tribe known as the Vandals swept through Rome, pillaging and destroying the city. But it wasn't until centuries later that the term vandalism was actually coined in an outcry against the defacing of art during the French Revolution. And as graffiti became increasingly associated with deliberate rebellion and provocativeness, it took on its vandalist label. That's part of the reason why today many graffiti artists stay underground. Some assume alternate identities to avoid retribution, while others do so to establish camaraderie and make claim to territory. Beginning with the tags of the 1960s, a novel overlap of celebrity and anonymity hit the streets of New York City and Philadelphia. Taggers used coded labels to trace their movements around cities while often alluding to their origins. And the very illegality of graffiti making that forced it into the shadows also added to its intrigue and growing base of followers. The question of space and ownership is central to graffiti's history. Its contemporary evolution has gone hand in hand with counterculture scenes. While these movements raised their anti-establishment voices, graffiti artists likewise challenged established boundaries of public property. They reclaimed subway cars, billboards, and even once went so far as to paint an elephant in the city zoo. Political movements, too, have used wall writing to visually spread their messages. During World War II, both the Nazi Party and resistance groups covered walls with propaganda. And the Berlin Wall's one-sided graffiti can be seen as a striking symbol of repression versus relatively unrestricted public access. As the counterculture movements associated with graffiti become mainstream, does graffiti too become accepted? Since the creation of so-called graffiti unions in the 1970s and the admission of select graffiti artists into art galleries a decade later, graffiti has straddled the line between being outside and inside the mainstream. And the appropriation of graffiti styles by marketers and typographers has made this definition even more unclear. The once unlikely partnerships of graffiti artists with traditional museums and brands have brought these artists out of the underground and into the spotlight. Although graffiti is linked to destruction, it's also a medium of unrestricted artistic expression. Today, the debate about the boundary between defacing and beautifying continues. Meanwhile, graffiti artists challenge common consensus about the value of art and the degree to which any space can be owned. Whether spraying, scrawling, or scratching, graffiti brings these questions of ownership, art, and acceptability to the surface.
So I think for many, street art has cultural sanction and graffiti is criminal, right?
Yes.
It's a lot of sense.
Just going back to like Banksy's case, most building owners and city councils are excited to have a Banksy appear on their property.
Yeah,
right?
I would, you know?
Beyond the pleasure of being given art as a surprise, mm-hmm. you know, and for free, nearby business owners sometimes actually see a small increase in customers because mm-hmm. people often come to visit these works.
Yeah.
And also Banksy's works are extremely valuable. So under the law, if Banksy produces an artwork on a building, the artwork becomes the property of that building's owner. So if the owner is able to somehow detach that Banksy piece, they can actually sell it.
Oh, well, that's a bit cold.
Yeah.
Well,
but defeating the purpose of, you know, what he's trying to say.
Exactly. Because he, you know, it seems is not very happy with the resale of his work. When asked to comment via anonymous means, of course, mm-hmm. he stated that, quote unquote, "For the sake of keeping all art where it belongs, I'd encourage people not to buy anything by anybody unless it was created for sale in the first place." Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you remember this. It was a very highly publicized bit of news back in October 2018 where we saw the destruction by self-shredding of the Banksy work.
Oh, yes. That was awesome.
Yeah. It was called Love is in the Bin. After, you know, and after it sold for about £860,000 at Sotheby's, Banksy destroyed a version of his famous Girl with Balloon graffiti work immediately after it was auctioned off. But, you know, now the anonymous buyer of the work announced that she plans to hang on to the shredded picture, which isn't really surprising given that art appraisers estimate that it's worth twice as much mm-hmm. money shredded as it was whole. What is this madness?
Yeah, but there were a lot of criticisms that it was all staged.
Yes,
and the end point was to increase the value. Even the whole shredding thing was a gimmick. I don't know.
I mean, Banksy has been very, very vocal about not wanting his art pieces sold.
And
maybe, I mean, they said this was an act of him trolling, you know, the whole Ponzi posh sort of Sotheby's crowd.
And unfortunately, then they also retaliate in that expected manner, right? Which is just, oh, you think you're going to be anti-establishment? Well, we're going to slap a price tag on that.
Yes, exactly.
So, which it's an endless cycle. Yeah.
There's money to be made everywhere, you know.
I'd like to think that with someone like Banksy, who's held on to his privacy so resolutely, is perhaps doing what he thinks is right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's the ecosystem that surrounds him
that is
maybe the capitalistic, cold-hearted one.
And don't forget the ecosystem of, I mean, like the other street artists, you know, very often they, quote-unquote, vandalize Banksy's works as well. And in some cases, they may do this to make a statement about a particular issue or even to criticize Banksy's popularity. You know, some other street artists see it as hypocritical in light of the themes of his artwork. Mm. At other times, street artists feel that they are adding to Banksy's work, developing it further, making new art from existing art. And attempts to protect Banksy works with, say, plexiglass screwed to walls seems to attract criticism in the form of defacement from other artists who feel that such preservation measures go against the purpose of street art. And Banksy himself actually often employs existing graffiti in his artworks.
That's right, yeah.
And then, of course, you know, numerous Banksys, as you also said earlier, have been painted over or even removed by city workers who actually just saw the artwork as regular graffiti. You know, after they faced criticism when workers painted over a Banksy near a London Tube station, the London Transport Authority responded, "Our graffiti removal teams are staffed by professional cleaners and not professional art critics." So, you know, some might argue that this represents both art theft and the destruction of art that should be preserved. But others might argue that such is the nature of street art, right? That if it is protected under glass, then it wouldn't be quite so powerful.
Absolutely.
It wouldn't even be what it's supposed to be in the first place.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Wouldn't have the notoriety that it has, right? And just earlier this month in Australia, about 6 people in masks used paint guns to spray over street art in Hosier Lane, which is the Cobble Laneway, which is quite a world-famous street art destination in Melbourne. And Melbourne artist Rowan said that the laneway was already seen as trash and a tourist trap by some artists.
Yeah.
But, you know, a Victoria Police spokesperson said that they launched an investigation into into what they call, quote unquote, vandalism of artwork, describing it as, again, quote unquote, attack on street art that forms the fabric of the city of Melbourne.
So aside from the irony of a police investigation into the application of graffiti over graffiti style murals, it raises the question as to whether or not we're comfortable ceding the decision of which forms of artwork have cultural worth to, you know, a body like Victoria Police, right? I mean, writer Sean Irving wrote in an article in The Guardian that, you know, he didn't think the destruction of the work in Hosier Lane was appalling. What he found appalling was Victoria Police waxing lyrical about the cultural fabric of the city while they are the same people who historically pursue jail time for graffiti offenders.
Yes. And the chorus of condemnation that was aimed at the artists who sprayed over the street art in Hosier Lane was loud and widespread. You know, they were disrespectful. They were criminals. Some couldn't understand why onlookers didn't try to stop them. But there's a reason that those in the street art community have been quiet, and that's because whether it feels right to us or not, it's actually a part of that culture. You know, Melbourne street artist James Wilson told the UK Telegraph, "You understand that your art won't last forever. An artist will paint over it, or the council will." Then he goes on to say, "The very nature of street art is that it's temporary, ephemeral, and forever changing."
And I, you know, what do you guys think about that? You know, all of these people who are shocked by the act of vandalism, like, you know, oh my God, how could they vandalize Banksy's vandalism? Are they missing the point?
Sort of, isn't it? But it feels like it's because it's Banksy, because they've placed that value to something created by somebody that they think is famous.
And who is famous?
Rightly so. I mean, I admire Banksy's work, but then it becomes very subjective and even, what's the word for it? I don't want to say hypocritical. But, you know, if it wasn't somebody as famous as Banksy, but somebody trying to make an equally strong statement, would we give it that much value?
Yeah, and even that idea of what is a statement worth making is very subjective.
Right.
Because the whole idea of street art is to do it covertly, is to send a message, is to sort of middle finger to authority, right? And if we start policing what can and cannot be said, what is right and what is wrong, then the whole idea of it is gone. So no, I mean, even if I may not necessarily enjoy it, and even if I may not see the value in a lot of tagging that's just vandalism for the sake of vandalism, I think that to police it would then mean we're drawing lines where there shouldn't be lines. Well, that is all we have for that today. But if you have any thoughts, you can continue tweeting us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or you can call us at 03-7733-2900. We will be back after a short break. But first, here is If I Were a Painter by Norah Jones on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to BFM.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.